up there. So if you want to follow along there in your on your phone app or on your Bible, you can do that. So I'll be reading from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, oh, it's up here. It's just not up there. Okay, that's what threw me. Here we go. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, it's always fun for pastors to try to come up with titles that will entice the listeners to pay better attention. And so I had a couple of thoughts about this one today. One of them I'll save for later, but another one just popped into my head. I thought we could have called this sermon "The Price is Right," but it wasn't right. So I went with the obvious, lying to God. But I got another one for you later, so just listen up and be ready for that. Well, we've been in the book of Acts for quite a while now, with just a little bit of a break in between. But these next few chapters, we're going to learn about the church, continue to learn about the church. And if you have been paying attention, this is the very first time that the word church is mentioned in the book of Acts. It's chapter 5, verse 11 at the end of it. But nonetheless, it's the first time that it's mentioned. And so as we go on through chapter 5, we're going to begin to see that there are some internal problems within the life of the church. There are some things that are going on that are bringing about some problems. There were also administrative headaches, and we'll see some of that in chapter 6. There were things going on inside the church, and yes, there were also things going on outside the church. And as we move forward along in the book of Acts, we'll continue to see some of that. We already got a glimpse into some of that when Peter was asked not to share the good news of Jesus Christ any longer when he was doing so, but he kept up doing it anyway, as we learned in our scriptures. One of the things that we learn here is that the church leaders were very careful about dealing with things that were going on inside their church. They were very careful to do whatever they could within their power to keep unity among the believers. But there wasn't very much that they could do outside the church. There wasn't much that they could do about the persecution that they were feeling outside of the church, and to prevent those kind of pressures that were taking place. But one of the things, and this should be one of the first points up on the screen this morning, I want you to know about is this, is that the leaders kept their focus on what was really, really important. And that was spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what they were all about. They were spreading the good news of the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And so we as church leaders today must always think about that. No matter what we're doing and what pressures we might feel outside the church or whatever's happening inside the church, as church leaders, as church members, members of this body of believers, we must do everything that we can to always proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the church attracts all kinds of people. Yes, and I'm glad the church attracts all kinds of people. And it's good because of the diversity that we have in this church is wonderful. The diversity of gifts and the types of people that God has brought. But sometimes there are impure motives that are brought to a church when people come. They come for various reasons. And this helps to set the stage for today. Some come because they have impure motives. They want to profit from religion financially. So that's one thing that we can look for. And we've seen that, no doubt, and they get a bad rap, but, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. Televangelists, some of them have had hard times with finances. Power mongers, those who are seeking to control things. They want to control, if they maybe can't control at work or home, they try to control things at the church. There are those that are self-centered, those that want to be pampered, those that want to be cared for whenever anything goes wrong. And then there are those people that seek glory. They want to be affirmed. They want to be patted on the back for every good little deed that they have done. And this brings us to Ananias and Sapphira. This is what they were guilty of in this scripture for us today. They were wanting to receive glory for an act that they had done, but they really hadn't done it completely. They concocted a plan. They decided that they were also going to sell their property. Whenever you see that, you think, well, what? Also what? I didn't read anything about that. You got to back up to last week's scripture and realize that Barnabas, remember, sold his property. So they must have been aware of this, being members of the church, and they also wanted to sell their property. And they concocted a plan, though, that they were going to sell it. And with the proceeds of it, Ananias decided, hey, I got a pretty good piece of money for that. I'm going to keep some of it for myself. And then I'm going to give it to the church, and I'm going to make them think that I gave everything from the sale of the property, just like Barnabas did. And he concocted this story, and his wife bought in fully with it. It says in verse 2, with his wife's full knowledge. So she wasn't off the hook either. And so she knew about what was going on. Together they concocted this idea that they were going to be, this scheme that they were going to be dishonest. They were dishonest with the people, with the disciples. As we go through this scripture this morning, a next point would be that I would like for you to meditate upon and jot down in your notes today, what is it that motivates you in your service and in your giving? What is it that motivates you personally in your service to the Lord, your service to the community, your service to this church? What is it that motivates you in your giving? How do you respond to that? Think about that. Focus upon that. And so in chapters 4 and 5, we've got two examples now of giving. And I want you to realize that even though this is somewhat a giving message, it's really not. So we have two examples of giving. We have a positive example, and we have a negative example of giving. Of course, in chapter 4, we have the positive example. Barnabas sold some land. He brought everything that he had, all the proceeds from it. He put it at the disciples' feet, gave it to them so that they could take care of the poor. They put it into their benevolent fund, and they helped those that had need. Then we've got the negative example of giving, Ananias and Sapphira. They are the negative example. I also want to reiterate again, which I did last week, it was not a command, it was not the custom in the early church that every member, everybody in the church, had to sell their property, had to sell their possessions, and give everything to the poor. It was free will. If you wanted to sell your property, if you wanted to give that, a proceed of it, to the church, you could do it. If you sold it and wanted to give a portion of it to the church, it was yours to do with as you felt led to give. So what they were doing here on the outskirt didn't seem to be a bad thing until they decided that they were going to come up with this scheme and deceive the apostles as to what they were really doing. You see, not everybody in the New Testament church was liquidating their land and selling everything that they had and giving to the poor. And that is not the message here, that the church should sell everything that you have and give to the poor. Now, I will say that when there are needs and when people are in need, we are required as the church to do something in order to help them. Jesus talked a lot about caring for widows, orphans, the poor, the naked, the hungry, all of those. But it's not required that you sell everything that you have. People still owned homes at this time. We know that Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So people owned homes. Barnabas is an example of a generous giver. He's one that said, you know what, I know there's great need. I have this land. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to give it. And he was an important figure in the development of the future church. He was one that went on mission trips with Paul later on, his first missionary trip. So we believe that this is a very positive example of giving. But what happened is the old green-eyed monster. You know, jealousy, envy creeped in. The devil creeped in, and the devil got himself infiltrated into the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. And he took root there. And they then devised this plan, not to give the money to the poor, but to keep a good portion of it for themselves. That would have been their prerogative. It would have been okay. They would have taken a portion and said, we sold some land, we want to give a portion of it to the disciples, we want to give that to them so they can help the poor. That would have been their prerogative. End of story, we wouldn't be talking about this today. But here we are. The initial sin that they had wasn't that they held back their gift. The initial sin that they had was that they lied about it. They deceived the apostles about their gift and their motives. Here's what the Bible has to say about that. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, it says, the Lord hates the sacrifice of the wicked. The Lord hates, you can't find a stronger word about how the Lord hates that giving of sacrifice of the wicked people. I've said it before, I'll say it again, the Lord doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. And it was where Satan got into the heart of that of those two, the husband and wife, and infiltrated that, that's where the problems begin to happen. And so then Peter said in verses 3 and 4, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? How did he know that? Why has Satan filled your heart? Could he read it on his face? Was there something about his demeanor? Was there something about his body language that tipped it off? Maybe. But I believe that the Holy Spirit gave him the ability to see in order for a greater good and a greater lesson to be taught to them and to us here today. You lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter says to Ananias. You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of that money for yourself. Yeah. The property was yours to sell or not to sell. So there again, it's right there in black and white. Even Peter is acknowledging it. You could have done whatever you wanted to with this. It was yours. And to do with as you wished. And he said, and after selling it, the money was also yours to give away or not sell as you wished. How could you do a thing like this, Peter said. You weren't lying to us, and here it is, but you were lying to God. You were lying to God. As I said, I believe Peter was given insight into the heart of Ananias at that moment when that gift was brought and when it was laid at his feet. Ananias and Sapphira succumbed to temptation, the temptation of the devil, who, although had already been defeated by Jesus' death upon the cross, was still out there seeking to devour like a roaring lion. And only in the end times will be finally put to rest and thrown into the lake of fire. And that's a story for another day. But the sin that they committed was not stinginess. The sin was not holding back the money. Here it is. Their sin was lying to God. Their sin was lying to God and to God's people. Trying to make themselves appear more generous than they really were. Trying to put on a facade. Trying to put on a happy face. Trying to make other people see them differently than they really were. This act would be judged severely. Upon the screen, you'll see dishonesty, greed, covetousness, and it was all destructive in the life of the church. And the local church leaders, Peter, called it out for what it was. He called it out. They were dealing with the internal problems in the life of the church. It's sad to me that in this chapter and the verse, in the first mention of the church, we also hear of the first mention of the first sin that's recorded in the book of Acts. But this is who we are. We are people who are fallen and broken, saved by the mercy and grace of God Himself. But what is a good response? What is a proper response that we could make when we see someone do something good in the name of Jesus Christ? We don't have to become jealous. Not all of us can sell our property and give a big portion to the work of the Lord. Not all of us have a lot of time to give. Some of us have talents to give. Some have time to give. Some have great resources and wealth that they can give. And all of them are expected to give as God has blessed them and given to them. But the response should not be one of jealousy. We should be rejoicing when we see somebody doing something good. When we hear of somebody leading someone to Christ, someone wanting to do something in the name of Jesus Christ to help someone else, we should rejoice and not be turning inward and thinking, oh boy, I want to make everybody think I can do that too. We should be excited when people are living the Christian life correctly and doing things to honor God. We should be motivated then in order for us to do the same types of things and the gifts that God has given to us. So, when Ananias realized that Peter knew about his scheme, he fell down and died. So this is where I had another idea. I thought, this is how my mind works sometimes in sermons. I thought, maybe I should put in the bulletin this week the sermon title, Pay Up or Die. But again, the Spirit got a hold of me and said, David, that's not what this scripture is about. So, but I thought it'd be good for a laugh. So maybe that's what was intended. Pay up or die. So that's not what this is about, just so you know, and reiterate that again. But the fact is that Ananias didn't pay up and he did die. Okay, but there was another reason why he died. It wasn't because he didn't pay up. So his death happened immediately, and he was, divine judgment came upon him, and it had to. It had to, otherwise, you know, the early church would have thought, well, hey, if he got away with that, so can I. It's kind of like kids, you know. When one kid gets away with something, we say, well, you let them do it. That's one of the things I hear in my house, well, used to hear when the older boys were home. Well, you didn't let us get away with that, right, Jake? And Mark got away with something. Well, you didn't let us do that. Well, you know, times change, I guess. Maybe I'm a little softer. But that's why. And so I also wanted to make clear here that Peter He didn't kill Ananias. He didn't ask the Holy Spirit to take Ananias out. The Holy Spirit of God did it. The Holy Spirit of God did it. You can see in verse 3 that there is this lying to the Holy Spirit. And later on down in verse 4, you see that he didn't lie to men but to God. There is this equating now of God and the Holy Spirit as one. The Holy Spirit is God in present, God incarnate with the Holy Spirit and present with his people. And so I wanted to make that clear to you as well. And then here we learn for the first time in the new church then that fear gripped those who heard about this event. Because word spread, hey, did you hear Ananias dropped over dead this afternoon? You know, we have a same, I've gotten calls through the years, hey, pastor, did you hear that so-and-so dropped over dead today? Yeah. No, I hadn't. My God, that's a shock. I didn't know. So word spread. People knew. Well, 3 hours later, here comes Ananias' wife. She's oblivious to what has happened to her dear husband, whom she conspired with in order to make this happen. And so she didn't know about it, and so she came up, and Peter gave her an opportunity to tell the truth, to be honest. And so he came to her, and he asked her a similar question. In verse 3, then Peter, verse 4, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men but to God. And then verse 5, Ananias heard of this, he fell, and great fear seized the land and happened. Then a young man came and wrapped him up. They took Ananias out and buried him. Then comes Sapphira 3 hours later. 3 hours later, oblivious to what happened, not knowing to what happened, is what the scripture says to her husband. And Peter says, tell me, is this the price? There is the price. It was right there, see. Is this the right price? Don't go over a dollar, under a dollar if you're right on. Is this the price you paid? Well, yeah, that's the price we paid. Gotcha. She too lied. She kept up with the conspiracy theory that her husband and her put together. And Peter then, he pointed out, he said, look over there by the door. You see those guys' feet over there? Yeah, they just carried out your husband. They just carried him out dead. Okay? She didn't know. Just carried him out dead. We don't know what these young guys were, who they were, or what they did or anything. Maybe they were like distant relatives of Donald Wiegand or something. But they carried out the dead. They carried out this husband, and then later they came and they carried out his wife. He told her that's what would happen. And she fell dead, and they carried her out, and they put her in the ground, wrapped her up, put her in the ground right next to her husband. The entire direction of these lies by Ananias and Sapphira were wrong-headed. They were self-serving, and they were church-destroying. And in fact, to be completely blunt and honest, they sinned. They were sinful. They were sinful people. They were concerned about what other people thought. They were concerned about their outward appearance. They wanted others to see them as generous, also like Barnabas. Samuel was told that the Lord doesn't make decisions the way that you do. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at a person's heart, their thoughts, their intentions. The Lord can see beyond our physical facade. Jesus himself rebuked the Pharisees in much the same way when in Luke's gospel it's recorded that you like to look good in public, but God knows your evil hearts. There again, see, he He doesn't look at the outward appearance or acts, but he looks at the heart of what's going on inside. And Jesus goes on to say, what this world honors is an abomination in the sight of God. So, next point up on the screen is, winning the approval of God, not people, should be what motivates us. Winning the approval of God is what matters. Getting accolades, awards, gifts, acknowledgement, all these kind of things, while nice, it's not what we should be about. We should be always looking to what does God say about what we're doing. You want one more title? All right, I got another one I thought we could put in right here. Took me back to my high school days. So those of you who grew up in the same time frame I did back in the 80s, this would be especially for Sapphira, okay, you ready? Another one bites the dust. Ba-da-bum, bum, bum. Another one bites the dust. Ba-da-bum, bum, bum. Another one bites the dust, and another one's gone, and another one's gone. Another one bites the dust, hey. Yeah. All right, that's all the titles I got for today. But she also bit the dust. She also died. She immediately fell down and she died. But all kidding aside, this was a warning. This was a warning, and it had to happen. It had to happen early in the church. When I was just out of college, I did a lot of substitute teaching to help make extra money for gas and pizza mainly. But I had a lot of fun doing it. But I learned quickly as a substitute teacher that somebody was going to have a bad day, perhaps. And I learned early on that it was me. Until I realized how to work things in the classroom a little bit better. And I quickly decided it was never going to be me again. I wasn't going to have a bad day in the classroom. And so it's easier if you're hard, strict, up front, and to maybe show more grace and mercy later on instead of the reverse. And so it's fun to be liked. It's fun to have people say, oh, Mr. Billy was cool. It didn't matter. The main thing is that the students were there to learn. Now, same is true here. The church is here to learn. The church is here to grow. And God had to address this. And it was addressed swiftly and quickly and severely. And you might say, well, Pastor, I thought that God was a God of love and God of mercy. He is. But he also hates sin. And he can have no part of sin. And sin separates us from God. And that's what happened here. These two brought this on themselves. And they had opportunity to tell the truth and come clean about it. Perhaps they would have been shown mercy. I believe they would have been. But here's the thing, friends. And this is an early life lesson for all of us, I think. And it's one that we should continue to have. Honesty is always the best policy. Honesty is always the best policy. Now, it's not always pleasant. If we've done something wrong, there are consequences. There are things that, you know, that happen. Yes. Case in point, third grade, there was a piece of gum in one of my friend's desk, and I decided, you know what, I really like to have that piece of gum. I stole it. And I got caught, and I lied. I got in trouble at school, and when I got home, guess what? Those were the days when you got trouble somewhere else. You got in trouble at home, too. I got paddled at school, and I got more than paddled at home. I never took another piece of gum ever again. Or anything else, for that matter. Deception is the way of the world. More so than ever. And because of social media, because of all the news and everything, it's just out there all the time. Don't fall prey to the ways of the world. God's people, you, God's people, all of us together must not fall prey. I do want to make a side note, though, here about giving. Giving is important, and giving is necessary to help the church and its mission and ministry move forward. And so every gift, no matter how big the size, how small the size, it doesn't matter what's in your heart when you give it. That's important. And this is why when Ananias and Sapphira hoarded that money to themselves, it was something that was Satan had entered their heart, and it was wrong. And greed corrupts the church. Greed corrupts Christian lives, and we must be very, very careful with how we handle the funds, the possessions, yes, the life that God has given to each and every one of us. What does the Bible teach us about money? Well, the love of money, and this is what people often say, well, money's the root of all evil. It's not. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil in 1 Timothy 6:10, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So remember, that love of money, if that's holding you back, think about that. And that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, now as we conclude our chapter for the day and we look at the last verse, chapter 5, verse 11, you see there once again that fear had gripped the church. Here again now is the first mention of the word church, ecclesia, within the book of Acts. The first mention of that, fear gripped, fear seized them. Not just the people that were there in the church, but the people in the whole community. You know how when something tragic happens or something sudden, like we've already talked about, now two people have dropped dead. Word spreads. And why it happened and what happened. And so everybody knew about these things. God's judgment on Ananias and Sapphira produced great fear in the hearts of the believers and all of those within their vicinity, all those within their community. But they realized the seriousness of how much God regards sin in the life of the church. It can't be tolerated. Sin cannot exist in the life of the church and among believers. Not only was this church in fear, but all of those. But I do want to remind us all again, even though in this instance God's judgment came down, God is a God of love and mercy. And he does hate sin. And because of what Christ Jesus did for all of us upon the cross, we can approach him, we can approach God with humility. We can approach him and come boldly into his presence because of it. But when we do so, we should do so with deep reverence, a deep awe, a sense of holiness that we're able to be in the presence of God because of what Jesus has done for us. I want to conclude this morning with this. Let's not kid ourselves. You might be able to kid me. You might be able to fool me. I might be able to fool you. But let's not kid ourselves this morning. There's no kidding God. There's no hiding from God. God knows us intimately. He knows our hearts. He knows what's inside of us. There's no pretending with God. He knows whether or not you're the real deal. You may be able to skirt through life here and fool a few people from time to time. But in the end, God's going to judge it. We need to be aware of that. Dishonesty spreads like a cancer. And when it's happening, then when you tell one lie, you've got to tell another and another and another and another. And it just happens over and over again. The other thing is when we're not real with ourselves and we're not real with other people, How can people in return be real to us? How can they be themselves with us? Again, I found it to be, just to be honest, I've told people of some of my struggles. It's okay. I'm human. I make mistakes. And I ask God to help me with those. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We should be able to share together those struggles as a body of Christ with trusted Christians. We can't hold back. The thing about Ananias and Sapphira is they messed up when they conspired together to deceive not the disciples, but to lie to God. But I want to bring this fast forward to us now today again. The Lord has blessed you, my friends. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed our community here more than what we deserve. I used to run into this guy. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." I kind of feel that way sometimes, you know. I'm doing better than I really deserve. Greg over here, every time I see him, he tells me I'm blessed. You know, "How you doing, Greg?" "I'm blessed." Yeah. So we got, you know, we got that. And the thing that happened here is that when we're not doing that, we're disloyal. We're disloyal to God who has blessed us. And we're disloyal to others. And when we do that, we, like Ananias and Sapphira, maybe not die physically right away, but we die spiritually. We die spiritually. And we die spiritually, my friends, when we withhold forgiveness from each other. We die spiritually when we hold grudges against each other. We die spiritually when we withhold love from one another. And we die spiritually whenever we withhold sensitive caring for those that are the least of these. I'm convinced over and over and over and over again, every time I read through the scriptures, that God wants us to care for the least of these. God will add to the number if we are faithful in doing these things. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live, both now, as best I can, but ultimately, I'd rather live eternally in the presence of God, now and forever. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.